I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark with Charles W. Chuck Bryant and Jerome Jerry. Did we say your last name these days, Jerry?
Nah, we've never said it.
Okay.
Jeez, I keep it that way.
Yeah. Jerome Jerry Blank. Yeah. Jerry Blank.
That's a real person, right?
No, she was on Strangers with Candy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, man, I know that name.
Yeah, that name sounds
that
cool.
That was the character, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really cleaned herself up and went on to become a spokesperson for Downey.
Amy Sedaris?
No, Jerry Blank.
Oh, yeah.
They're one and the same.
Yeah, I love Amy Sedaris. I like the Sedarises.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
Aren't they fighting?
Oh, Amy and David?
Like a lot of David and everybody else.
Fighting?
I think he wrote like some New Yorker article about his dead sister, their sister who I think... I can't remember what happened, but he wrote like a memoir about her, and I think the New Yorker.
They got mad.
And the rest of his family like called him out on like the inconsistencies and errors and facts. And
maybe they were tired of it because all he's done is write about his family.
Yeah. I guess they're like, that's it, David.
Yeah. No more.
We're done.
Cut us in or we're going to cause big trouble for you.
I was about to do my David Sedaris impression.
I thought about it for
then
a second.
Then I realized, like, I don't do a David Sedaris impression. So.
I could, but, yeah, not going to go there.
So limos.
Yeah.
At least some of the Sedarises ride around in limousines.
I bet they have.
And I can guarantee they have. Because, Chuck, it turns out the definition of a limousine is way broader than you would think.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean some super stretch.
No. But it can.
Sure.
Basically, a limousine, technically, is any car with a roomier back seat than the average car.
Yeah.
And if you throw in a driver, there's nobody who's going to say, that's not a limo.
Yeah.
You can be like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
And be right.
Yeah. Like, technically, if you want to hire a town car to take you to the airport, technically, that's a limousine.
Yeah. You know the car services in New York?
Sure.
Those are limos.
That's right. They have them here in Atlanta, too.
Do they have a car service here in Atlanta?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
All I see are just the worst. Oh, yes. Yeah. Because there's a special tag.
Yeah.
Did you know that Atlanta taxi drivers are the worst taxi drivers on the planet? Have you noticed?
From experience, it's pretty bad, but I just Uber it now.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's different than the taxis.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. That's why I Uber it, because they're different than the taxis.
So bad.
Yeah.
Seriously, anybody who comes to Atlanta, if you make it out of Hartsfield, look around at the taxis and how they drive. Your mind will be scrambled.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think cabbies are kind of like that everywhere, though.
No. Like, very frequently, they are the best drivers in the entire city. They know where they're going. They don't just meander. They don't, like, drift into lanes. They don't drive super slow.
I've had the opposite experience.
Most cabs that I've been in, the driver was pretty great.
Usually when I'm in a cab in New York City, I wonder, is this the ride where we hit somebody or some other car?
Yes, but you don't, and they're going really fast.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, they drive 10 miles an hour and hit everything. They just sideswipe everything.
Slow and lousy. Come to Atlanta.
So anyway, we're talking limousines, man. Let's get back on track.
Yeah, I should say, too, I hate limousines. Like, I love a good town car ride to or from an airport.
Yeah.
But as far as a stretch limousine, I just hate that whole thing.
Just a little kind of, hey, look at me.
Oh, it's just dumb. It's longer and it's got a bar. It's just, I don't know. I think the whole thing is stupid and like just part of that whole narcissistic culture that I despise.
I gotcha.
You know, I've got money, so I want it to be in a longer car with a TV in it.
Well, for a very long time, if you wanted a TV in your car or a phone,
yeah,
your car better be double the size of the normal version of it.
All right, I just had to get on my soapbox. Like, if it's for prom and you're all going in, like, I get, like, a fun thing like that. But, or a fur bus. Rent the fur bus for your niece's birthday, mm-hmm. like we did. That was fun.
What?
You never done that?
No, I thought you were saying we rented it for my niece's birthday.
No, my niece's birthday. You weren't a part of it. This is my family.
Yeah, I wasn't invited. Scott invited me.
This is before I knew you, my friend. Anyway, I can see the fun of it occasionally, but just as a means of transportation, I think it's pretty obnoxious.
I gotcha.
Especially those huge, huge, like, Hummer stretches. Yeah. I just want to, like, to dematerialize those with my eyes. I wish I could shoot a laser
amazing.
Beam and expose the people within. Just all of a sudden they're on the street.
Yeah.
With their bourbon and coke. Going, what happened to my super stretched Hummer?
I wonder how you'd have to do that. So like your laser beam eyes would have to just
kill
get
the people.
Like fiberglass, like destroy fiberglass and steel and upholstery.
And rubber.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
So, I think as we've stated, a limousine doesn't necessarily have to be what you hate.
Yes.
It can also be just a car that's driven by somebody where you got a roomy back seat for the passenger.
Nice big trunk.
But even before that, even if you want to say, wow, that's a broad definition of limousine, man, let's go even further back and include clothing as a limousine in the definition of limousines.
That's right. Because I learned, as I imagine you did, the word limousine comes from a town in France called Limousine.
Limousine.
We'd like to introduce our new Principal Skinner, Principal Seymour Skinner.
Yeah, that was a great one.
That is one of the all-time greats. Yes, it was Limousine without the E on the end. And like you said, the original limousine wasn't a car. It was kind of like a little hooded raincoat that protected you.
Yeah, like Little Red Riding Hood wore a limousine.
Yeah.
It was, a hooded cloak. And it was invented in Limousin, France. And it became synonymous with Limousin, France because they called it a limousine.
That's right.
So as people started building coaches that protected the rider, the passenger from the elements, they're like, wow, this is kind of like a hooded cloak in a really weird way.
Yeah, a little bit of a stretch.
Let's start calling these limousines.
Yeah, even if it was a horse and carriage, the idea that you were not driving this carriage and you had a nice little comfy seat that's covered in the back, they called it a limousine.
And very frequently, probably all the time is a better way to put it, the driver himself wasn't covered. Like, there was just the passengers that were covered.
No, you'll get rained on and like it.
Exactly. If you complain, we'll put you on the rack.
That's right.
Driver.
And this continued until they started building regular, as I think Jonathan Strickland wrote this, what he calls horseless carriages, very cheekily, a.k.a. the automobile. Mm-hmm. And they called those limousines. And they started, like, very early on in New York City, someone started a limousine service.
I think in the 20s.
Yeah, 1920s is not too bad.
And these cars, the earliest limousines were basically built from the ground up.
Like
you built a car with the intention of building a stretch longer car, a limousine as we understand it today.
That's right.
And it might not be like a stretched sedan.
Yeah.
Some of the early limousines looked a lot like station wagons or like an old Model T station wagon. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But very quickly, these companies figured out that it would be vastly easier to take an already manufactured car and stretch it basically do a conversion.
Yeah.
And that became the tradition for a very long time, I think starting in the 20s.
Yeah, and luxury cars, obviously, from the beginning were the prime targets because this is what rich people were used to having their fannies sit upon while they were being driven around. So Mercedes-Benz and Cadillacs and Fleetwoods and LeBarons were all prime candidates. Even the famed Bentley had a limousine, the Arnage, that they made only 20 of.
Did you look at that?
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I got to admit.
Yeah.
For a non-limousine guy?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's kind of nice.
That's a very nice car.
You ever ridden in a Bentley for any reason?
No.
I haven't either. Now you can get a Chrysler that looks like a Bentley.
Was that the 300?
I don't know.
I think it is the 300.
I call them Fentleys.
For some reason, John Varvatos had a 300 edition, limited edition. He's a clothing designer.
Oh, yeah?
And in the ad for his edition of the Chrysler 300, it's him and Iggy Pop, just randomly. Iggy Pop is in the ad with him. I guess they were getting wasted together that day that he had to film.
Did he have a shirt off, Iggy?
Probably. I can't remember.
Yeah. He don't seem with a shirt that much.
No.
He's very proud of his wiry, muscular body, and I don't blame him. All right, I think we've wasted enough time. So let's, right after this break, talk about that limo conversion, because to me, that's about the most interesting part of limousines.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
All right, we're back, and we were talking about limo conversion. Like you said, early on, they used to build a limo to be a limo.
Yeah, like just some guy would build a car from the ground up, and he would build it extra long, and that's where the early limousines came from.
Yeah, it was a company called Arm Brewster in 1928. Were they Arkansas?
It was, I think they're American. They are American. I don't remember if it's in Arkansas or not, but it was actually, I found in a write-up on the company from like 1987, it says 1923 is when they built their first limousine. And that by at least 1926, they were doing conversions because there's a picture of an early stretch Buick that they made.
And they realized that conversions was where it was at.
Right.
Let's take an existing car, cut it in half, and stick something in the middle of those two pieces.
Right, because somebody else has gone to the trouble of building the engine, of designing like the dynamics, of figuring out how to put the tires where and all
like,
that stuff.
Why do all that?
Like, yeah, when you can just cut a car in half.
Add more car.
And yeah, add more car, and then bam, you have a stretch limousine.
I had no idea they did it this way.
No, when I read it the first time, I was like, surely.
Right.
He just made a horseless carriage joke. I know this must be a joke as well. No, that's how a lot of limousines are made. And it's funny you bring up the 300, Chrysler 300. You said the one that looks like a Bentley. Because I saw, I guess a test of one of them that was like Chrysler builds these 300 stretch limousines.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. So if you see a Chrysler 300M limousine, it was built by Chrysler most likely.
Which is very unique these days, right?
Yes. Because for the most part, like you're saying, the industry standard is some company will get a hold of a Cadillac or a Lincoln Town Car.
Yeah.
Cut it in half, like you say, and then add to it, and there's your stretch limousine.
Yeah, the process goes a little something like this. They strip, that sounded like I was going to sing it in a song.
And a one, and a two.
They strip all the interior out. They protect everything that's in there, obviously. Strickland says they use fire-resistant paper on everything.
Yeah, which, okay.
Sure, why not? I guess you don't want it to catch on fire while you're doing it. Right. You're going to mount it on a set of rails that can be adjusted to get your car off the ground, keep it all aligned properly, because when you're adding more car, you have to have it super aligned. And then they cut the thing in two pieces.
Yeah, and not lengthwise.
No, that'd be weird.
I guess you could make it a lot wider, but you're looking for length.
And maybe that's the new limousine. Right. Just like super wide. Yeah.
Apparently the industry agrees that you typically can't go more than double the size, the original size of the car.
Yeah.
After that, it's just probably not going to pass any safety tests, which we'll talk about in a minute. But once the car's cut in half, hopefully you remember to put the car on these rails that elevate it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that some of the rails are attached to a dolly so you can separate the car to the length you want. If not, you have to basically throw it away and start over. But so if you pull one, usually the rear back from the front.
Yeah.
And then you go and add, rails, basically the extenders that are going to lengthen the car.
That's right. And like I said, your car is temporarily braced to keep it from twisting or moving around
because right.
you want it like to be super exact, obviously. Cause if the front of your car is a half inch to the right from the rear of your car,
that's bad.
You're in big trouble.
Then you're going to add what's called the floor pan. Sorry. And it's basically the floor of the limo, which will later on become carpeted and upholstered and everything. But for the time being, it's just a piece of metal that is the floor of your new addition.
Yeah, and that is after you have done all the other boring stuff like extending the driveline and making sure you have, because you know your wiring's not long enough. Nothing is long enough. And you just have to.
No, because you've just cut it in half.
Yeah.
Like there's a huge gap.
You literally just have to extend all those parts.
Right.
You know, the brake line, all that boring stuff. You have to just extend all that stuff.
Yeah. I got excited about the floor pan.
No, that's right. You stick in your floor pan and then you.
Well, hold on. I want to say something about the floor pan and the drive line. So you've extended the powertrain.
Yeah.
Right. The thing that big thing that like powers the back wheels.
That no one knows what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've extended that thing.
Yeah, you just hear like powertrain warranty and people are always like, what in the world's a powertrain?
That's like the steering and the axles and the thing that spins around and spins your rear axle and all that. That's your powertrain.
Okay.
It's true. So you have to add to that because you've just cut through it again.
Sure.
And then you add the floor pan, which is the floor of the limousine.
Yeah.
And do you remember that limousine fire from, I think, last year, a couple of years ago?
Oh, they were stuck inside.
Killed the bride-to-be
on
the San Mateo Bridge.
Awful.
Apparently, the California Highway Patrol investigated it and ruled it an accident, but it was because the floor pan of the limousine that had been added later was up against the drivetrain, and the friction created enough heat and spark that apparently there was a crack in the floor pan, and that heat came up and caught the upholstery on fire, and that's where the fire came from.
Wow.
Was from this modification that had taken place years before.
Well, which is one reason why Cadillac doesn't want their name on that limo, let's say, because it has been modified by someone other than Cadillac.
Right, but Cadillac's name is still on the limo. As far as the U.S. government is concerned, once you cut a car in half and extend it, You're the new manufacturer.
Yeah, totally.
Cadillac says, well, that's great. We've got a bunch of yahoos running around cutting our cars in half, making them longer. But if somebody sees it on the road or somebody sees a photo of it with the trunk burned out,
yeah, our name's
they
still
see
on
the
it.
Cadillac. So Cadillac and other companies like Ford have programs to basically certify, train, and go back and investigate the people who are doing these conversions.
Yeah, because we didn't mention, but when you make a car substantially longer and heavier, you might have to modify the brakes some. You might have to modify how it turns. You might have to reinforce the suspension or the frame itself, because you can't just make a car 12 feet longer and expect it to behave the same way.
Right, exactly. Like it, the original stopping power was for the 12-foot car, not the 24-foot car. So you do have to do some modifications.
Yeah, but those companies are super smart to have official programs, I think, because every car, even if it is modified later, has to be roadworthy, has to pass the federal motor vehicle safety standards.
That's right. Cadillac's program is called the Cadillac Master Coach Builder Program. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Ford has something called the Qualified Vehicle Modifier Program. And so basically they're saying, hey, if you're going to be doing this and you can legally do this, we're going to make sure you do it right.
That's right.
And guess what time it is?
Time to get in our limo?
Not yet. It's time for a message break.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
All right, so we mentioned that the limo, generally speaking, even though they've gotten ridiculous these days, shouldn't be more than twice as long as it originally was.
Yeah.
And since you can't get that much longer, what you can do is, if you want to impress people and get their business, is trick it out on the interior as much as possible.
Yes.
With you name it, man, and they've got it.
Yeah.
Plasma TVs and hot tubs and bars and sound systems and like anything you can think of. It's littered with neon and tacky things, in my opinion.
Tacky's the right word, I think.
Yeah, not for me.
Did you see, if you go to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Branson?
Have you been there?
No, I saw a picture.
Oh, I was about to say.
I want to go to Branson someday before I die.
Sure,
Yakov Smirnoff has his own place there.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Sure.
Yumi's going to take me.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened already.
I'm kind of too, yeah. Yeah. We've been going other places. But in Branson, there's a 30-foot 1982 pink Cadillac stretch limousine
yep.
that has a heart-shaped hot tub in the trunk area.
That also has Josh's 40th birthday written all over it.
Yes, it does.
It might be a good time to go.
Maybe 40th birthday present
yeah.
would be the limo itself.
Oh, like to own it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just drive around Atlanta.
That'd be awesome. Drive around anywhere. You could drive around Branson. It'd be fine. You've got like a hot tub in your car.
I love how Strickland also points out, I don't know when this was written, most limos also have telephones installed in case all 14 of your cell phones are broken.
I made note of that as well.
All right. There are some other considerations if you want to drive a limo, because you can be a private person and drive a limo, just like hire yourself out or go work for some rich person.
Oh, I thought you meant like the kind of person who keeps to himself or herself.
No. I mean, you don't have to necessarily work for a limousine company.
I gotcha.
You can just buy your limo and say, I'm Chuck the limo driver.
Right.
You know? Or I want to work for...
As long as you have the proper hat.
That's right.
You're fine.
And call yourself Bitterman.
Yeah.
Licensing, it depends on what state you're in. It depends wildly. Some states, you can don't need any kind of special license.
Some states just say, fill out this form.
Sure.
Probably give us $50.
Some say, bring your limo, and although how would you do that if you're not licensed?
I guess a tow truck.
Yeah. Get your limo here and take this test in your limo to make sure you can drive that behemoth.
Blindfolded. It's part of the test.
So it all depends on what state you live in. Safety standards are the same for any other car, like we said.
Yeah, and the car that you bought to convert already before you ever bought it went through the safety tests.
Sure.
But now that you've converted it, it has to go through safety tests again.
Right.
So they include things like crash tests, and if you're interested in that, there's limo crash tests on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it show rich people inside, like, with their drinks flying around?
Kind of. Man.
What?
You're not down with the 1%, are you?
No, I just think a crash test dummy in an evening gown might look funny.
That's so funny you say that, because one of the ones, I guess is it Australian Fifth Gear, maybe it seemed like?
I don't know.
It was pretty cheeky. They were clearly drunk on the show, but yeah. It was like, it was a limo crash test, and they put their clothes, their evening gown and tux, on crash test dummies. So, I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to look up Fifth Gear limo, I guess limo crash test is what would bring it up.
Huh.
And yeah, they're clearly drunk because they spend the first like 3 minutes drinking.
Yeah.
And then mooning people out of the limo.
What?
And I'm like, where is this thing from? And I saw it was Australian.
Oh, those wacky Aussies.
But it's pretty cool crash test because they have some great cameras set up and like, they don't put seatbelts on the dummies.
So they're just flying around?
Yeah, it's a pretty neat crash test.
I do need to see that because that's exactly what I was describing.
And there's another crash test, too. It's way more boring. It's just basically a series of still photos.
Ugh.
Which I guess you can make the case like that's what all videos are, but.
Sure.
This is like really slow still photos.
And hey, listen, I don't want to. We always say, do what you want to do. I'm not going to poo-poo if you want to go out and hire a limo and with your friends and drive around and get drunk and go to a bunch of bars. It's fine. You know, it's just not, don't expect me to get in the car. Although, I would say the wine country limo is not a bad idea.
Get they have around.
Oh, sure, yeah. In fact, I think people in wine country aren't too happy about them, you know?
Oh, because it's like a party bus kind of thing?
Yeah, basically.
Like well, hey, man, if you, like, have wine tastings every 5 feet.
I know.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
Everybody there seems very cool.
Because you don't want to drink and drive.
Oh, we went when it was the off season, so I'll bet everybody was a little like more mellow.
Yeah,
because there weren't a bunch of tourists around.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No, but you're right. The people that live in wine country, Northern California, they're a nice, laid back lot.
They are fairly laid back. I think is a good way to put it.
Because they have the best job in the world.
Yeah. We have the best job in the world.
That's right. If we only made wine.
I've got some going in the toilet.
Some Pruno?
Yeah.
Gas mileage is a big consideration because you're not going to get good gas mileage at all. And you may, as a company or an individual, have to pay an extra gas guzzler tax on each vehicle in your fleet on top of that.
It's basically like, you know how you pay a lot of money for gas Well, now you have to pay even more money because your thing uses up so much gas.
Yeah.
Although Strickland mentions a 32-foot stretch Hummer limo that a guy named Sean Murphy, he misspelled his own name, on the Cool Fuel road trip. He used he drove a Hummer limousine that ran on a bunch of different alternative fuels like biodiesel, methane, ethanol, vegetable oil, sugar.
Wow.
It could also use geothermal, solar, and wind energy. And he got the limo up to 75 miles an hour, which sounds illegal to me.
Yeah.
He should not be driving a 32-foot anything 75 miles an hour.
I agree. If you are interested in owning your own limousine to be your own private little driver, it depends on what kind you get, of course. You may can get one like a Lincoln stretch for $30,000 to $40,000.
Sure.
Or you may pay $300,000 if you want that super stretched Hummer with the hot tub.
I have the impression that that $30,000 Lincoln stretch, like the hubcaps come off when you take corners and stuff like that.
You think so?
Yeah. And I also bet that the one of 20 Bentleys go for way more than $300,000 each.
Do you ever see someone driving around in an old limo? Uh-huh. It's clear it's just their car.
Right.
And it's like a 1972 Caddy limo.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It is sweet, but at the same time, it's like, that's a really poor choice.
Yeah.
Especially if like you're on a tight budget.
Right. Like you live in a city with tight streets.
How much money do you spend on gas?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
That's what I shout to him out the window whenever I pass someone like that.
Should we talk about presidential limousines a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I think those are kind of interesting. They call it the Secret Seven in this great, was it Popular Mechanics article?
Yeah.
In 1939, the Sunshine Special, and up until this point, I think, standard automobiles had been used to drive presidents around and shuttle them. But in 1939, they says, we need something for the Secret Service.
Yeah.
And we have a president in a wheelchair that his name is Roosevelt, and he has certain considerations.
Right. Plus, at least one attempt has been made on his life already.
So we might want to think about adding a little more security to these cars.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they did. It was armored. The body was armored. It was built by coach builders in Buffalo, New York. Had oversized hinge doors, I guess, to account for that enormous wheelchair that they had back then. And lots of armor plating and even bulletproof glass in 1939, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah. It looks like Al Capone's car, if you ask me.
It's pretty sweet.
Then there's the 1950 Lincoln Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
But this was awesome. It was a Truman presidential limousine.
Yeah.
And it was basically for every, with every new limousine that came along, there were new innovations. It became heavier and more armor plated and just safer. And this one came with a bubble top because it was a convertible, but Truman realized that, like, if he had the top up when it was super safe, no one could see him.
Right.
So he had the bubble top installed, kind of like the Pope Mobile.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that what it's like?
I think so.
All right. And that one was retired to the Henry Ford Museum, as was the Sunshine Special in Dearborn, Michigan. So if you've ever been there, you've probably seen a few of these on display. Kennedy's famous car that he was in November 22nd, 1963, when he was assassinated, was a 1961 Lincoln Continental convertible, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was still safe, not with the top down, obviously, but they had certain safety features built in. They had a rear seat that was, well, this wasn't a safety feature, but they had a rear seat that could be raised and lowered to give people a better view. They had a metal hoop behind the driver. Behind the driver's seat, so when the president's standing up, they can hold on to something.
Yeah.
But it was armored after his assassination with a permanent bulletproof hardtop and then left in the fleet, which really surprised me.
Yeah.
I would have thought they would have completely retired that car.
Or just given it to a museum or destroyed it or something. But, yeah, leaving it in the fleet, that's penny pinching.
Yeah. And that is in the Henry Ford Museum now as well.
I'll bet.
1972, the Lincoln Continental that President Ford and Reagan, the same car that they were both shuttled into after assassination attempts, famously.
Yeah. This is the limousine that reminds me of, like, old Times Square in New York.
Yeah.
Like where like Basket Case was set, you know? Like this is,
I never saw that.
It's worth seeing at least once just to say you saw Basket Case.
Right.
Yeah.
Old CD Times Square.
Yeah.
I got just a taste of that when I first started going to New York in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Just there were still some peep shows and stuff around. And it was just starting to be like Disney-fied, as they said.
I missed it entirely.
No, you didn't miss much.
But man alive, you can go to Red Lobster there now.
I know. It's funny how people pine like, remember when it was crappy and there was crime and drugs
Who
and prostitution everywhere?
Says that?
Oh, dude,
I mean,
New
I
Yorkers.
Can understand being like, yes, this corporate stuff is is just dumb or whatever. But
people are very nostalgic for old crappy Times Square.
Huh.
Yeah. The 1983 Cadillac Fleetwood was used in the early 1980s. And, one of those, there was a pair of them, was used in the movie In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Remember he played the guy who didn't get to Kennedy in time when he was assassinated. It haunted him.
Oh, was that his backstory?
Yeah. And John Malkovich was like a total weirdo.
Sure. He was trying to kill the president, right?
Who used a wooden gun.
I don't remember
a lot about that movie for some reason.
That's a lot of detail, Josh.
Then there's the Bush era Cadillac DeVille, which is, I mean, I associate that with Bush now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it was a GM. It was a Cadillac DeVille, of course, but it was built on the frame of a GM SUV, supposedly.
Smart.
Yeah. 5-inch thick armored doors, bulletproof glass so thick it blocks out parts of the light spectrum. Apparently.
So everything looks blue.
Yeah, maybe.
From the inside. And you go insane.
And it was rumored to feature what they called a self-contained passenger compartment with its own secure air supply.
Cool.
So I guess it's just like a chamber to hide someone in inside there?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
And then lastly, Chuck, the most recent one came out in 2009, and it's a Cadillac, too. And it came out, I guess, just in time for Obama's inauguration.
Yeah, and this one, they started to be a lot more secretive about...
how they're made?
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
But they have pretty good speculation that, you know, it's armor-plated underneath, all around. They think it's diesel-powered, but they don't know for sure. And good luck. Like, this thing is like a tank on wheels. Good luck penetrating that Cadillac.
Yes.
You know?
So there's one other thing I want to point out. If you are into limos, especially extreme limos, there's another popular mechanics article called Stretch It Out, 10 Extreme Limos that you sent.
Yeah, like Lamborghinis and stuff?
Yeah, Lamborghinis, monster trucks. And I looked it up. Apparently there's a lot of monster truck limos.
Yeah.
I also found online a DeLorean limo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. It's worth looking at. There's a semi limo.
Yeah, that one is basically like a large apartment on wheels.
Yeah.
Like you can have a party for 50 people. There's multiple bars.
Did you see inside?
Uh-uh.
It looks like an Applebee's on wheels.
Oh, is it a fern bar?
Yeah, there's a lot of like, polished brass railings and like the carpeting and the upholstery. It looks like an Applebee's. It's very strange.
Well, you can't account for good taste.
It looks pretty sweet, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure that anybody who... There's three different lounges in there.
Wow.
Three.
That's a lot of lounges.
A Mexican company converted a 747? No, a 727 into a limo.
Yeah.
It took the wings off.
There are TV shows out there that you can view all these things... extreme everything. You know?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's also TV shows about the people who repo them.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
So if you want to know more about limos, you can start by typing that word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said that, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this funny homeless story, if there is such a thing. This April has been working in New York City, but I gather that she is in Atlanta. She's just there for work for a period of time.
Dear Josh and Chuck, I miss the old Times Square.
She did say that. No, I'm kidding. She talks about how she listens to us on the train there on her commute in New York City, and she feels really bad for homeless people, but especially when she sees a homeless person with a dog. She says after passing several homeless people in New York, people-dog combos this weekend. My grand plan is to stop at a pet store, get some dog food and treats, and have cash available for the next homeless pair so I could help out and hopefully have a conversation with them to make them feel human for a little bit. This is April. You're awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
I bought my supplies, and two blocks from the store, I see a homeless man with a husky, and I think, perfect. One of my dogs is a husky, so I'm partial to them. After having a five-minute conversation with Michael, petting his dog, giving him dog food and some money for a nice meal, I get ready to leave, and as I'm about to walk away, he said, thanks for the dog food, but it's not my dog. I'm just watching it for someone in the building. Awkward. I ultimately asked if the dog had a home and food. He said yes. So I asked if I could take the dog food back so I could give it to a dog in need. He agreed, and hopefully he was able to get a nice meal himself and appreciated my conversation and didn't think I was too crazy. I then went on to walk 30 blocks to my hotel with a relatively heavy bag of dog food without seeing another homeless pet. Good thing, because I didn't have any more cash for the person, and it probably would have been weird to give a person dog food but nothing to help him or her. Me and my bag of food will be walking around various New York City neighborhoods this weekend, though, because now it is my mission to help someone out. It's been a good little reminder for me to be thankful for what I have, especially as we approach winter up here. And that is from April Cummings.
That is very nice of you, April.
Very cool. I hope you find a homeless dog in person that you can help out.
Yeah. If you want to share a story about you, how you're making the world a better place, we want to hear about it. You can tweet it to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.